Let's continue to give thanks. Say, Father, I thank you because I'm a partaker of the blessings you have kept for me this evening. There is something great you have kept for me this evening. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light. It is healing me. He sent his word and it healed them. The word delivered them from all their destructions. Let's give thanks for that word again in your life, in your own personal life. Say, the word is working in me. Oh, believe me, it is working. Every day I'm more convinced of it by the day. Every passing day I know the word is working. I know it is working. In the name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen. Amen. All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
Now let's declare the word of the Lord. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I said amen.
Amen.
If you believe, you say another amen.
Amen.
Good. That is, good things have come to you today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God has packaged something good for you.
Amen.
And today it is entering you by the entrance of the word.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
All right, if you have a Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Let's open it again to where we were last time. We were talking about the message of Christ to his church, to his people, to you, to me, to us individually. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That we have been reading, let's open our Bibles again to that 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read it quickly because we have read it several times. It said from verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup and he made the statement, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood.'" Then in verse 26, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And that's just the background. Why are we reading this? Verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Verse 28, we have been reading that. "But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. But he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and the number sleep." Please notice verse 30. "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and the number sleep." That is, they die the way we say it in contemporary English. But Paul was always emphatic on the fact that Christians really don't die. The only sleep, all right? "But if we judge ourselves rightly," verse 31, "we will not be judged." Now, if we don't judge ourselves rightly, we will be judged. That's what it means. And in verse 32, it says, "When we are thus judged," "but when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home," and all of that. Now, let me just stop reading here. We are getting back to the thing we have been saying again and again concerning this issue of the judgment of the Lord. Please let me go over something my wife says a lot of times. She will just marvel at the way Okemute's colleagues behave once in a while. And she will say, "Don't people fear the Lord?" Okemute is a man of God. So sometimes the way his colleagues will preach, the way they will twist the word of God, and I said, "Don't they fear God?" Okay, not just came with this colleague, my colleagues, all right? We're all preachers. He said, "Don't they fear God?" And I want to say again, God should be feared. Let's be specific. The Lord Jesus should be feared. What we're trying to teach is to explain that he's not somebody who takes nonsense from people all the time. The fact about the Lord Jesus is that he's patient. He's long-suffering. And like I say all the time, being long-suffering is not the same thing as ever suffering. You get my point? It gets to a point in which we'll have pushed the envelope too far, like they say. It will come. The handshake will have crossed the elbow, will have exhausted the patience of the Lord. It happens. It happens. And when that happens, we will not come under his judgment. But I want to read again today from that Revelations that, listen, Jesus is patient, but he warns people. Does Jesus punish people? Yes, he does. Don't believe the gospel that it's only the devil does what is so-called bad, that God never does it. We preach that God only allows the devil. God never does any allowing. Trust me, he always commands. Are you getting my point? Even when he so-called allow, he has to command the allowance. I don't know why you're getting my point. He has to command it. Without commanding it, nobody does anything. If the devil wants to do anything, he has to obtain permission. He said, who will entice Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead that he might fall or perish or die there? And the spirit said, I will. And God said, what will you do? The spirit said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And you know what God said? Go. Do what you have said. Succeed in doing it. Is it God's will that Ahab should perish? Originally, no. How do I know that? The Bible says God does not delight in the death of anyone. He doesn't. But it's long-suffering for everyone to come to repentance. But when Ahab wouldn't come to repentance and stay in repentance, there was a time that Ahab came to repentance and God lifted the judgment. But instead of him to stay in repentance, he continued in the way of his wife Jezebel, and God had to come forth with what he called a destruction that is overflowing with righteousness. For that reason, when he wanted to do that, even though we in modern Christianity, we try and explain that God just allowed. He did not just allow. It was not his will. It was not his desire. But when judgment time came, he had to pronounce the right for that evil spirit to do what he did. No, that's a matter of fact. If you see, even when Job's matter came up, he gave the devil specific instructions on what he will do and what he will not do. Yeah, he told him, everything I have, all of this I have given to your hands, but you can't touch his flesh. You get my point here. At the point I say you can touch his flesh, but you can't kill him. So that's how the judgment of God is. So please, let's not, I just want to disabuse this thing from our minds that we, by those of us who teach word of faith and grace things, we keep on trying to emphasize that it is the devil. I want to say something again. The devil has his issues. The devil has his desires. Satan has. But worse, the person that is worse than the devil is Jesus himself. He's one person. Listen, let's get it clear. We've talked about it when we're looking at the way, the truth, and the life. The one person that is worse than the devil in the day of his anger is Jesus himself. He's worse. He's far worse. And that was why Jesus himself warned, don't fear him that can only kill the flesh. So there are levels of destructions that people have. The devil can destroy the flesh. There's nothing else he can do. Human beings can destroy the flesh. There's nothing they can do. But he said, fear him that can destroy the flesh, then go into another realm, and then cast the soul into eternal fire. That's the job of Jesus. He said, the Father judges no man. He has committed all judgment to the Son. Get it clear. We're going to see it later. We're talking about it. But he said judgment, and that's Acts chapter 10. Peter said, he commanded us to testify, solemnly testify, that this Jesus is a God-appointed, that's the point, God-appointed judge of the living and the dead. I said before, our message has not been balanced when we're preaching him only as Savior. The message of Jesus is only balanced if you preach him as a judge and also as a Savior. You must put two things together. One of the reasons why he gladly saves is that he knows how dangerous his wrath is when that time comes. There's what is called the day of the vengeance of the Lord. Jesus knows it's such a dangerous day. He says, let me save you from that judgment. He knows how terrible it is. So himself comes and says, let me save the people. Because they don't understand. There was a time when he was being punished, the season of crucifixion. Some women were crying for him. He said, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves and for your children. Now listen to this. He was talking about how relative the punishment was. That the time will come, you will see terrible things happen to you. Now, that was going to be done by the Romans. Are you getting my point? Now, what I'm trying to say, when he realizes what he will do to people, in the day of his anger, he came down and died for them. And he gave everybody a chance. Believe now and be saved from the judgment to come. Please, I'm trying to get us to understand that Jesus is not just the gentle lamb, you know, this lamb. Please forget this Christmas story. It's not a good story to be telling all the time. All right? Jesus stopped these baby things long ago. You know, this infant thing. Infant Jesus rocking a cradle. Don't sing those songs. It's not necessary. Sing songs of his reason. He's a soon coming king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the song you should sing. You just be singing now. While shepherds watch their flock by night. Forget that thing. Those days are over. Are you getting my point? Sing songs like he reigns. You understand my point? He is seated on high. He rides a white horse. He's coming with the fierceness of his anger. That's the song you should be singing. Look, I said I'm not going to the cradle anymore. Nobody's there. Even in the grave, nobody's there. You are camping around the cradle. That one is history. The thing that is active right now is that Jesus rose up from the dead. He's exalted. He's been glorified. So glorified that when John saw him, he fell at his feet as one dead. Forget this Christmas story. I've told you. It gives the impression that Jesus is a baby to carry. It gives that impression. You know, you carry baby Jesus, you now go. People will now be going. There's no baby Jesus again. What did I say? There's no baby Jesus. Baby Jesus has grown. He's not gentle and so tender. You know the Christmas stories. No. The Jesus we have to deal with now is to be feared. We should be afraid to offend him. That's what I'm going to emphasize. We should literally fear him. We should know that he is good, he is patient, but he's a judge. And we say that judgment begins where? In his house. That's what Peter told us. Judgment begins in his house. Said the Lord will judge his people. But he now said, listen, if you don't want God to judge you, it is simple. What do you do? Judge yourself. Examine yourself. We talked about it last time. Settle down. When will people go on fasting and praying? No. We spend too much time fasting about things that God didn't say we should fast about. This year is my year of breakthrough. You now say, this breakthrough, you spend a whole night calling breakthrough to come. Jesus said, that's how Gentiles pray. I need this. Spend a whole night fasting about it. He said, that's how Gentiles pray. If breakthrough is not coming, this is how Christians pray. You sit down and say, what is inside me that is not in keeping with breakthrough? That is a prayer point. You lie down and look at your life. Last year, you joined association, they called you financial secretary. And then they call for money. Money is not complete. You tell long stories. That's what fasting is about. To ask yourself, why do you like to tell stories? That's what fasting is about. Why is it that, you know, I was with a friend of mine today. He said, give money, somebody money to start a business. The business has grown. And the man has refused to pay him back. Every time he say, I remember I'm owing you money. Meanwhile, business is growing. And it's a business in which he patronizes the man. It's a service, you know. It's not as if he's buying and selling. He renders a service. It's not as if he could come to your shop and buy something which you need money to restock. It's a service the man renders. And he'll still collect his money complete and say, I know I'm owing you. My friend said, I don't want to ask him that. Common sense will have said, okay, render this service and let's be deducting the money over time. Yeah. So he'll give him a job to do. Job's supposed to deliver in 5 days. 1 month, he's looking for the man. This is why breakthrough doesn't last. These are the kind of things Christians are supposed to do. You lie down and ask yourself, go and listen to our series, Habitation of God. How do I do it so that my words will never fall to the ground? You do your part of it. You plan your business well so that if you tell somebody I'm delivering in 1 week, in 6 days, you are ready. Those are the things that's what fasting is for Christians. Not this fasting to check who is pursuing you. You know, it's a waste of time. Let me say it again. If any prophet comes to tell you you are discovered by revelation who is afflicting you, tell him, Pastor, you're a fake man of God. Follow a man of God for how he teaches you righteousness and for how his words burn, you know, the spirit of God burns in you when he's talking. As he claims to do miracles, forget that thing. The prophet will now come and tell you that your grandmother doesn't want you to succeed. Your father's second wife is a witch in your life. That's been withholding your destiny. Listen to me. If any prophet tells you that, just say, Pastor. Pastor Banky said you are not genuine. That you should go and learn. That, okay, if that's the case, what do you want me to do? If your God is not powerful enough to fulfill his own word, that I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, then you are not serving the true God. The true God doesn't care who my enemies are. He can handle my matter, whether they are alive or they are dead. I want all of you listening to me, never join anybody in praying prayers that say, die, die. Nobody is going to die. Not because you said die anyway. And if they do die, you are in trouble. Because whatever you sow, you will also reap. He that shows mercy shall obtain mercy. Obey the Lord. He didn't say you should pray that anybody should die. It's nonsense praying. I'm sorry to say, look, you see part of the thing we are talking about. We should stop tolerating this rubbish. We should stop. God said, I need their presence to bless you. Because my word says, I prepare a table in their presence. If they are all dead, where would the blessing go? How will I manifest it? And God is not afraid. You are the one afraid of the devil, of the enemies. So you wake up every day praying the enemies should die. They are not going to die. Why? It's not necessary. So forget that thing. Don't pray dying prayer. Look, pray the word of God. If God wants to kill people, you know that's his business. I'm not saying he doesn't kill people, but that's his problem. The people you are afraid of, he can bless them while bless you while they are watching. People like to look, if we start doing die. In 2 weeks, you come here, we won't have seat again. This week, anybody that says you will not prosper, whether they're in the village, or in the city, or in the office, or at home, they will die. How you see human beings, wicked people, how can you be blessed? When God does not delight the death of a sinner, you rejoice at the death of a sinner. They will come and testify. I killed my uncle. Praise the Lord. Oh, he killed his uncle, man of God. Killed his uncle. So you to feel bad. When Ezekiel prophesied and Pelatia died, Ezekiel shouted, God, what are you doing here? You want to kill everybody? Oh, come and rejoice. We believers, that's what we do with fasting, is to examine ourselves to see what exactly it is that's in our lives that's not in keeping with what God wants us to do, how God wants us to live. Like we declare all the time that we need to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects so as to bear fruit in every good work and continually increase in the knowledge of God. That is what we are supposed to do. So occasionally, really, you should do that. At the end of the year, beginning of the year, take time out and just think about your life. If you are married, a very good one, check your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your wife. How have I been? How have I been improving? How have I been managing money? Can I control my impulse better? A new phone comes out, you break the family budget because you want to buy an iPhone 8. Is it 8 out yet? 7 that they are still using, Abby? Okay. You now hear that, okay. And Galaxy Note 8 is about to sneak out. Man, I must have that phone. The house cannot be balanced again. Everybody, you are paying for phone small. Meanwhile, the one you have, it's just 8 months old. You must have the new one. Listen, you are indisciplined. That's it. You have to assess your life. How better disciplined am I than before? Have I learned how to say no? It's not every ashwebi they bring for you, you buy. Are you getting my point? Yes. I mean, you ask yourself, all the pride, all the just trying to, you know, compete with people. How has it gone down in my life? Because Peter said, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they must always increase. That's what we're talking about. These qualities in your life must always increase. And what you do is periodically you settle down and check whether they are increasing. Am I more patient than before? Those are the things you check. You drive, you know, on the road. Sometimes, you know, other drivers really want to, you know, they want to drive you crazy. But you just check, oh, I don't get as angry as I used to get. That's what God says you should be checking in your life. That's what God says you should be checking your life. How better disciplined am I with money? Very important. Money is a very important thing. You can check how disciplined you are in life with how disciplined you are with money. There are people that money hits their hand 6 weeks later and you are talking to a millionaire. They don't even know what happened to it. You look and say, no, I can't continue like that. You do business. Bible says, know the condition of your flock.
It's godliness to know how much money came in, how much money went out, where did it go to? Some business people, they ruin their own businesses. They don't have a salary. As money comes in, madam says, want to go to market, sales for the day, he takes from it and gives to madam. That's how to become poor. That is exactly how to become poor. After some time, they'll be blaming the neighbor who's been jealous of me in the market. In scripture, know the condition of your flock. You see that it's part of godliness. Oh, before my business was scattered, now I have order. I have an account book. I know how much we were paid last month. I know what our expenses are. I know what the profit on it is. And I know how much is my own part of it. One of the things that killed business, we find there was one big supermarket we had downstairs here. One night they closed, 12 midnight. They closed, you know what? 12 midnight was when they closed. How many of you remember the supermarket? Down here. 12 midnight they closed. And ran away, I'm sure, with millions of naira that belonged to people that left things for them to sell. One woman that my wife knows came the following day. She was looking through the glass to be sure, have they really stayed there? My wife felt bad. Her money is gone. Why? Because you know the way supermarkets are, people will come, give you goods, worth thousands of naira, hundreds of thousands of naira, sometimes millions of naira, expecting that as you are selling, you'll be paying them off. They don't have proper accounting system. Many people are ruined for things like that. They don't understand that, listen, 1 million naira, yes, in my account, but it doesn't belong to me. On that 1 million, yours may not be more than 50,000 naira. Because by the time you pay the man who supplied you, by the time you finish paying your utilities, your rent, your staff, you realize that 1 million naira, bros, your portion is not even up to 50,000. And I'm not talking about your portion after you've settled your personal things. Your portion out of that 1 million, 800 is for your suppliers. Your staff, you have to get paid. As a Christian, in Jesus' name, you will repent. You must never bypass NEPA meter. How can a Christian at this day and age, you are a thief. EDC puts power meter there, you are bypassing it. Only. Oyoshi. There are things Christians are not supposed to do. In case you don't know it, you cannot pray for the power sector in Nigeria if you are doing that. Your prayer is ineffective. It's zero. In case you don't know, you are part of the problem of the society. Pay your bills. Check, when you check at the end of the day, you realize that you didn't make money. On turnover of 1 million naira, your portion, by the time you pay Eswama, pay the regular utilities, everything remaining is how much? 35,000. But at least next month you will still be there. The following month you will still be there. Then one day, listen to me, one day your turnover will be 100 million in the same period. And that 35,000 will no longer be 35,000. Your portion of it at the point in time will be 1 million naira, 2 million naira. One of the greatest things you must do for yourself is to establish a good name if you are doing business. People should be able to swear, say, who did you give our goods to? They say, oh, so and so president. Oh, don't worry, we'll get the money. There's one woman that works with me in the office. I told my wife, I said, this woman, there was time she was working with me when I was actually at a particular point in time. So I was supposed to pay some money. I said, give it to her. Don't worry, the money will be complete. It will be complete. These are the kind of reputations Christians are supposed to go for. You are doing business, somebody supplies you something. It's priority. It's not, some people don't know that paying debt is not saying when I have money. You pay your debt before you eat. Because the other fellow has to eat. And it's your obligation. People don't get the point. This is why many businesses close. Money walks in, MD looks and goes to buy a car. The money is not your own. Jesus is Lord. The money is not your own. You made sales, yes, but somebody supplied the goods until you paid the person, you've not made any money. Christians, look, we should be known for our integrity. I say, who's that? Oh, it's a Christian. No, the money will come back. You know, let me tell you, pastors, be careful. Some of these offerings you are collecting, God will collect it back. Believe me, God will soon collect it back. God is going to collect some offerings back. Tell pastors that I said so. He will come and collect it back. My friend was in a church. They are building a church. And the man said, it's my church. Let me help them collect iron rod. He sells cement in the market. Church, oh yeah, now pay the iron rod money now. They say there's no money. Please, now it's not my own now. I'm a cement dealer. Just because it's my church, I use my influence to collect iron rod on credit. They say there's no money. Meanwhile, construction in the church was going on. So my friend went to the pastor and said, please, why have you not paid me so and so and so? He said, our big general overseer, bishop, prelate, whatever be the name of the archbishop of the church, said that the building must be finished by December. So the man should wait. By that time, the man had left the church. He had left because to be able to sue them, he had to stop his membership. He had gotten a lawyer. What is his issue? It is not even my money. It's my neighbor's money. I don't deal in iron rod. I sell cement. I don't need to tell you. They did some other things. One day, God broke the pillar of the church in the afternoon, one weekend. God just came and... You know, angels like to play games too. They play golf, I told you. I've been telling you. God will collect his money. When I see Chris and pastors, he'll be playing with God. Listen, this is the word of the Lord for this season. Jesus said, I'm tired. I will break churches, collect cars, motor car. You just park a car. Hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Boom, the car will just explode. And it is mercy that there's nobody inside. Church members who are giving offerings from money that's not their own. And we don't tell them that it is not right. One man was testifying. I knew he was lying anyway. Yeah, one brother, the governor now saw him and I gave him a job, contract, 20 million. He first took 2 million and brought his tithe. I feel like I said, Pastor, you said you don't have sense. If they gave a man a contract of 20 million, is his profit 20 million? How can he bring a tithe of 2 million and you are agreeing with him? Should I have told him, my brother, this is how people die in poverty. Come on, go and do the business, my friend. When you finish doing the job, then you will bring the books, we will check. If your profit on it, you're able to get a profit of 2.5. Then I will now say, where's my portion? The out of that one, you give me back, but then I will bless you. If you say, oh, as soon as the money comes, you know, we pastor, we like to twist it to our own advantage. Say it's first fruit. It's not first fruit. There's no fruit yet. How can it be first fruit? There's no fruit yet. It's a job. When he tells you, oh boy, where's the money? It's in account. Sure, you know you can't buy tie yet. He said, yes, sir. You know you can't buy anything. He said, yes. Do that job. Make sure that man is impressed, even if you don't make a dime of it. He said, yes, sir. Help him, supervise him, make sure. How is the job going? Make sure. I don't want to hear that there's come out. At the end of the day, let the man know that you may not make a millionaire. Quality is more important. A good name, the Bible says, is better than riches. A good name is better than silver and gold. That's why I say God will collect some of this money back. He will collect it. He will collect it. I heard the story of one pastor. He went to one church to go and preach. As I was coming, he invited him to come and preach. As I was coming, the Lord began to speak to me. The Lokemude is going to give 10 million naira today. And the maker right beside him is going to give 15 million. When they finished, the people brought the money. Then they give him in court. I thought it's court business. It's court. On the way, suddenly hear the spirit speak to him. Say, if you love your wife and children and you want to see them again, go and return that money. And the guy said, driver, turn. Turn. And the host pastor said, thank you very much for the honorarium. Take. Man of God, any problem? There's no problem. Thank you very much. He went home. The Lord told him, if you like your wife, you like your children, and you like to see them again, return that blood money. That's why I said, God will collect his. Look, just watch it. He will soon start collecting his money back. And in case you are looking for where to sow a seed so that God can multiply your money, please, oh, it's not Kingdom World Ministries, so. We don't do money doubling business here. If you want to give an offering, make sure there are two things in your heart. One, you feel like, ah, I have been blessed. Let me share a portion of the blessing of God in my material blessing with this ministry. We receive that, God will multiply you. Two, this word must go far. What can I do to make it go far? Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
That is why you drop money in the offering basket here or transfer to our account. If you are saying, when I give it, God will multiply it. In Jesus' name, he will never multiply it for you. Don't bring your Jonah spirit into my boat. I have where I'm going in life. Please, no Jonah here. Don't give me Jonah offering. Offerings are cause problem later. When you want to pray, say, in the name of... be coughing. Say, Lord, what is going on? He said, that offering is not good. Look, listen. This is not MMM Ministries. M may be in our name, but does this... No, I'm serious. People are laughing. I don't multiply money for people, though. Any money you give to Kingdom Word, consider it given. Don't quote it for God. So, Lord, you're going to multiply this money because I give to Kingdom Word Ministries. God will say, did you listen to the pastor there? Listen, God blesses people for giving. He does. Let me not forget to tell you. He does. God loves a cheerful giver. He that sows generously will receive bountifully. It's scripture. I'm not taking away from it. But God said, I check the heart before I reward people. Those who invest are not cheerful givers. Their offerings are not received from God, by God. They may invest, people say, invest in the gospel. There's nothing like that. If the return is for you, you invest in the gospel if the return is for the advancement of the gospel. That's when you invest in the gospel. That if you want the gospel to fill the country, then you invest in it. Are you getting my point? So it can fill the country. But if you are looking for returns, you don't invest in the gospel. When you're looking for returns, you invest in GT Bank, Dangote Refinery. You go and buy, you go and sell. That is investing money. In Christianity, money, we give it. When we give it, we say, Lord, that was a nice one. A great privilege to work with you. I hope the money will be able to do something. That is how Christians give. Somebody said, they say I should sow into the life of a man I admire. Don't sow into my life. Please. He said, I'll be going on the road. Grass will be growing under my clothes. Or somebody sow seed into my life. I don't want that kind of offering. If you are giving to me, it will be like, that word blessed me. Paul said, because you have fed me spiritually, it is my duty to communicate. That's how you do it. It's not a seed as in, when I give it, I multiply. No, it's my duty, I want to do it. It's my duty, I want to do it. I know the interesting part. Those are the people that God now blesses. Yes, those are the people that God now blesses. God, now, because look at Solomon. God said, what can I do for you? He said, nothing. No. More than giving me wisdom to be a blessing to your people. God said, good, in that case, I am going to give you more money. Why? You did not ask for money. I will give you more money than you ever imagined. In that case, I am going to give you long life. In that case, say, why are you giving me long life? Because you forgot to ask for it. I will take care of your enemies. Why? You didn't ask me for it. You were so concerned about the assignment I placed in your hands. That was the primary thing. God said, for that reason, I give you the things you did not ask for. Believe me, in Christianity, those who are not looking, they are not long-throating, God, when are you multiplying my money? He's the one, he multiplies their money. They are the ones. They are the ones that he will multiply money back to abundantly because they gave from a generous heart. All the money people are giving to connect with blessing, it's not from generous hearts. God is just looking at them and shaking his head. Say foolish people. Senseless people. Wicked people. We have been talking about what? Examine ourselves. That's what we're talking about. What's my motive? Why do I do what I do? It's important. Why do I do what I do? That's part of the self-examination we have been talking about. So when we do it, he says, we will not be judged.
When we do it, we correct ourselves. One of the things God helped me to do this, I react different ways to different things. There are times I say to myself, Banky, that reaction, was that you? Or it was a right thing? I said, that was just me. I do that a lot. Maybe somebody just annoyed me on the road. I said, nothing's wrong with that. That guy, what he did is not worse than what people do normally. If you did not sleep well, just confess that you didn't sleep well. What this one was snapping for people. Then one guy annoyed me last week. When I shouted, the guy said, no be money ask this guy for where they rake like this. I was in a bad mood. It was on Tuesday. I forgot what happened. Okay, I remember now. So I was angry. I was talking to my wife in the car. Look at this one. We just talking. So as I was looking for, then, and I got here, nowhere to park. I was now moving my car to one corner to park. I came down. By that time, I was now running late. Supposed to come and preach. I came down. I saw that I was blocking somebody. I went back to the car to go and move the car. I didn't know the guy had seen my wife. My wife said, look. Don't ask that guy for money. It's a bad time. The guy didn't listen. Came to my window and knocked. So, I was trying to park. I thought he wanted to give me information that, no, please, don't move here. Somebody wants to move out. So, I looked neatly dressed. So, I wound down. I said, Chorom Ego. I said, yeah. The guy, I said, I should give him money to make it worse. Not even an Igbo man, it's a Hausa man. So he lent Igbo for begging. So all of that, one, you came, stop me responsibly, like, stop. I thought you wanted to help me with parking. Then you told me to give you money. I told the guy, will you get away from there? Am I owing you money? Do you keep money? The way I take it for the guy, I asked the pastor, cool down. Not be the guy. You are in a bad mood. My wife said, I warned the guy. That is a bad time. The guy didn't listen. I saw the guy today. Maybe he recognized me. He just greeted me. Good afternoon, sir. I better go. The Lord is good. So one of the things that Lord has helped me with is that, and I do that, I'll just say that, look, that reaction, is it righteousness or just your flesh? The bank, you tell yourself the truth. This one are flesh. So when I get that kind of thing, I just calm down. I tell myself the truth. Why am I saying so? You have to examine yourself. Because if you don't, and when you do that, you judge yourself. You confess and trust the Lord to help you. If you don't, then he is going to have to deal with you himself. Like I said the other time, he's not dealing with you because he hates you. He deals with you because he wants to really correct you. We talked about that last time, all right? Now, I will spend so much time on other things. Let me now go on to the message I have for today. Please, be patient with me. We are going to hear the word of God today, all right? Now, can we open our Bibles now to the book of Revelations? I thank God for the Holy Spirit that has led us the way we have gone thus far, because based on my own understanding, this was where I wanted to start from. My aim was to look at these letters to the churches. Different preachers have preached on it at different times, and I would like to recommend David Pawson's collection on it, The Letters of Jesus to the Seven Churches. David Pawson did a series on it, and I think if you can lay your hands on it, it will be a blessing to you. What I'm preaching is slightly different from what he preached, that is, the focus is slightly different. But so that's why I think you should lay hands on the messages. It will really be a blessing to you. Now, so like I was saying, I wanted to start from here, but I just let me step back a bit and explain that different levels of judgment, the three levels. We looked at two, especially self-examination and judgment, then the judgment of the Lord so that we'll not be condemned with the world, and the final judgment is the condemnation for the world. We didn't talk about that third one at all, just the one that concerns us as Christians. Now, we're going to look at this beginning from now. Let me see where we can get to today. And next time we continue, what I want to just bring out is that, okay, let's read something, then I will now start speaking. We read part portion of this before, but let me just take it from, I will start from chapter 1, verse 4, but because it's rather long and I'm trying to save time today, I will jump here and there. From verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now listen to this. To him who loves us and redeemed us from our sins by his blood. And part of what he did is that he made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. He said, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, he said, I'm jumping one verse now. Verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Then John now began to speak. He said, I was in the Spirit, verse 10, on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in a book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then he turned around to look, and he saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, he said, I saw like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, when it had been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Now, this is where we are going. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. And as for the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now, we're looking at the seven churches. Now, one by one, we're going to read one first, and I'll begin to say the things I want to say for today. He said, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. Now please follow it closely. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. Actually, many of us are too tolerant of evil things in claiming that we don't want to judge. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, which, interestingly enough, is a very common title these days. Most money raisers I know, they are apostles. That does not include Apostle Kemuteo. I just want you to know that there are genuine apostles. He said, you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false, so they are genuine ones. You have perseverance, and I've endured for my name's sake, and I've not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first. Or else, I am coming to you, and we close your church. Let me say what he said. And we remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now verse 7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now you are going to see, and we'll see later, that I talked to the other churches also, and he said different things to them. Now, let me just start. I wanted to also read this so I can say what I need to say. First of all, when he said this, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What he was saying is that each letter was written to a particular church to handle a particular situation. However, there is a principle in it, there is a lesson in it for every Christian that gets to read it. Are you getting my point here? So the argument of whether the churches were literal or were, you know, they represented the different church ages is irrelevant. Every church should read all the letters, the seven of them, and pick the lessons in each letter. That's the thing. And that's how we are looking at it. Why we are looking at these letters is so that we will see the things that the Lord loves,
the things that the Lord hates, and we look at them and judge ourselves individually. That is, even though he was written to a church, actually he expected each individual to take the lessons in them and apply it to his or her life. Are you getting my point? Each person is supposed to take these things and look at it, like we're talking about examining yourself. You look at those things and say, how is this applying in my life? Along the line, we'll see that there are some general principles. We'll look at them deeper as we go on. For example, one of the things we'll see, one of the general principles, is that you'll see one, we should remember that Jesus said, I know your deeds. I know, let's go back to verse 2, chapter 2. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance. That is, Jesus is watching what we are doing. He's watching how we are conducting our lives. It's not just a principle we are dealing with now, it's a person. He actually looks and says, Banky, I like the way you are doing this. I don't like the way you are doing this. He comes to my house and he says, how are you treating your children? I like this one. I don't like this one. How are you treating your wife? I like this part. I don't like this part. How are you doing your ministry? This thing you are doing is not good. This one is good. Improve in this area. He goes to every aspect of life and he has something to say. And I'm leaving that for you today. Take each aspect of your life and examine it. Read these letters and see what he has to say about them. Now listen to this. Everything has a consequence, you will find out. The ones he likes, he tells you there's a reward for it. The ones he doesn't like, he tells there's a judgment for it. He says if you continue like this, and you see as we go on, that he's patient. You will find out that he's patient. He's patient. He gives us time. He says later that I gave that woman Jezebel time to repent. So God gives us time. He expects us to improve. Please, I want you to follow. I want you to follow me very closely. He expects us to improve. Every part of life, he's giving us time to improve. The fact that there's no judgment, and listen to this, the judgment will come if we don't improve. It will always come. It's a sign of his love. It's a sign that he has not given up on you and on me. But he expects us to improve in every area. Remember, there are things he looks at and he says this is good. And he wants you to know it is good. Sometimes, and you see as we go on, I'll mention them as we, you know, when we get to those areas. Sometimes there's something you are doing, somebody preaches and lets you know it is good. What that means is that reinforce it. Do it some more. Sometimes people don't realize how the promise of God, if God gives a promise in your life, when that promise comes, reading scriptures, that promise assumes that what you are doing now, you will continue it. Do you get my point? Yes, it assumes so. It doesn't assume that the promise will come to pass once it has been spoken. No. It assumes that the circumstances under which you heard that promise, there were certain things in your life at that time that must be continued. For example, Abraham understood righteousness and justice. And that was why the promise of Isaac in his life was going to come to pass. And the promise of his seed being many had to, the principle of righteousness and justice had to go into the lives of his children if that other promise was going to come to pass eventually. So when God called Abraham, he expected, Abraham, your primary job in your life now is to teach your children, your household, everybody in your house, righteousness and justice. And you will see Eleazar of Damascus, who was his chief, you know, the chief of his household. He knew it. Eleazar could handle gold. Eleazar had, he didn't tell Abraham what he was taking to go and look for a wife for Isaac. All Abraham said is get Isaac a wife. He decides how much gold he's taking. He decides who is going. That was Eleazar, that is, he had learned righteousness and justice. And that was how, why God was able to bless him, bless the household of Abraham. That's it. So when you are seeing the Lord Jesus here, there are things that he will say, I know you are doing this. What it means is continue doing that. And he will point, I want to understand, the Lord is detailed about your life. He will look at you sometimes and say, I don't like the way you dress. And you'll be surprised he does that. I've asked the Lord before, this thing, what do you think about it? I won't give you details now. Those who are very close to me, they know what I'm talking about. And the Lord says, sorry, I don't like it. Nothing wrong with it, not something I will preach about, just my personal life. You know, I said that the word of God has, we talk about four, but there's a fifth one. The word of God has four main aspects. There are what they call thy word. That's the promises. There's what they call thy precepts. That's the principles. There's what they call the commandments. Thou shalt not.
And there's what they call the testimonies. Testimonies are personalized commandments. Are you getting my point? And the Lord is that detailed about our lives. And he wants to handle every area. I don't want to sit on that now, but there are times you just say, look, listen, this whole area, you are following the world. You are not giving them you are not living as an example. There are times God will say, listen, why do you always like to follow the world? Once the world introduces something, one of these, this is my opinion, but I think I'm speaking for the Lord. One of the most foolish things men ever learned is how to sag trousers. And I believe God will just look at all his male children, say, oh, foolish Galatians. And really, and one of the things that displeases him is that he doesn't like you taking example from the world. That's just his own. That you should be the one teaching them how to behave. Listen, there are little things. You must understand, as far as your life is concerned, God is concerned about every detail. I am if I say this, you think this man, are you kind of listening too far? No, but I'm not. I'm convinced that many of the dietary nonsense that Christians propagate, Jesus is displeased with it. I think that hallelujah diet, you heard the hallelujah diet? Jesus said, remove my name from it. That hallelujah thing is my name. Call it chop grass diet. That's your problem. But don't put hallelujah inside it. I don't like it. The Lord Jesus actually comes and tells you, I don't like the way you talk. Some of you say, the way you talk is good. Teach it to your friends. Continue it. Teach it to your relatives. Teach it to the people that listen to you. Make yourself an example in this area. That's how detailed he is about our lives. Let's bear it in mind. I want us to bear it in mind. I have one thing I just want to bring out from this letter he wrote to the church in Ephesus today. That there are many things, like I said, let's just pick a few of them, but I will sit on one particular one. I know your deeds, your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. Notice something, there are a lot of good things to be said about them. Did you notice that? Good deeds, the toil, the perseverance, and their intolerance for fake apostles. He said you cannot tolerate evil men. And unfortunately these days, a lot of us Christians, they say don't judge, we tolerate a lot of nonsense. In the Western world, the things that God clearly said, I hate. They said, don't judge people, tolerate it. This week, the train system in London Underground, they've released a new rule that they will no longer say, ladies and gentlemen. They will now say, hello, everyone. Why won't you say, ladies and gentlemen? Because it discriminates against transgender, bisexual, and questioning people. So if you say, ladies and gentlemen, you have used a binary system. You're either male or female. What about those who are neither male or female who are questioning their identity? And I see, it still makes me laugh when Christians are eager to go and raise their family in London. You should be crying if you are living there. Please, let me talk. I will preach. Let me talk. It amazes me. People tell them that in your country, there's no constant power. There's no constant power, but there is no school. Even if the proprietor is an adulterer, they will do prayer every morning. Yeah, true. If he cannot preach, he will invite Pastor Okemute. This morning, the children will hear gospel by force. I grew up in I don't know whether I was a Catholic home. My mother was a Catholic, she's still a Catholic, pretending to be a Catholic actually, but my father was not, but he didn't contribute, in that area. So my mother was the one that took us to church and all of that. But do you know the truth? Where did I hear gospel preached properly? School. I went to an Anglican secondary school. In the morning, everybody line up. They will teach you the gospel. I was in boarding house. Our seniors will wake you up at 5 a.m. I still remember the Harmattan period. About four or five of us will cluster in one corner. And one senior in Form 5, which is now SS3 or SS2, but that was the last year in school, he will be preaching to us while we are trying not to sleep. He can't try it now in many of these countries. They will say he's indoctrinating children because literally we're children. At that time, somebody like me had not even hit the age of 13. I was not even yet a teenager. I was in boarding house. The guy will wake us up.
That's always to sing, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord, we didn't know it is that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made, that the Lord has, you will sing. And it's still there till today. Children still fear authority. They still dodge when teacher is coming. And your only problem is that we don't have constant power. And if you go to London now, they already give you the date of the graduation, they change the graduation in 5 years' time. Whether you give them the date or not give them the date, we all graduate one day. You, in case you don't know, in a lot of Europe, England, you know, that's UK and the rest of Europe, they don't write father and mother again. They write parent one, parent two. When you are pregnant, you come to hospital, they don't say who's the father, where's the father? They say, where's your partner? Because most of them are not married. The woman is pregnant. My friend told me that when his wife was pregnant, he went to the hospital. They said that, where's the partner? I said, I'm not a partner. I'm a husband. What's your problem? I'm not a partner. I'm this girl's husband. I paid bride price before I come up for Nigeria. And then people will be telling, you know, it irritates my body. Listen, everybody has his challenges. But please, our challenges are inferior to those challenges. Look. My son is not going to go to a school where you keep condoms in the bathrooms. Listen, you can encourage behaviors with how you respond to it. Now, I'm going to explain something here. Some people will not tell me that I want to give my children a destiny. I carry them to Canada where they have been doing pornographic movie awards for over 10 years. You know the way they do Oscars? The pornographic, they have their own to open show. It makes the news. Red carpet. Literal red carpet. Listen, there are people who live there, they have to live there. I'm not saying, but then, please, don't be silly and open your mouth and tell me that to shift my children from where light is not constant, road is bad, to where morality is bad, rules are against God, is giving the child a destiny. You don't believe in God. That's your problem. You don't believe in God. You're pretending. Faith is good for you, it's not good for your kids. That's what you're telling me. You don't believe in God. Forget this rubbish. It's not, I know why God doesn't answer us. He said, bank, you forget, they don't believe. God said, bank, forget this, they don't believe. They are praying. Is it prayer? Okay, just watch. Let me give this one an opportunity. See how, because you see, let me tell you something about circumcision. Circumcision, I taught it here before. This is a sign of the covenant between who and who. That's the question. Circumcision on you, that is, I'm talking about when circumcision was the issue now, is a sign of the covenant your father had with God, not your own covenant. The sign of your own covenant is the circumcision on your own children. That was why God was going to kill Moses. Moses' life was saved when his wife circumcised their son. What does that tell you? Not circumcising his son, he was breaking the covenant. I said, oh. So you want to see what you believe? Check when you are making decisions about your children, not about your life. It's not you are making decisions. When God wanted to check whether Abraham trusted him, he didn't ask Abraham to hang himself. He said, kill Isaac. He didn't ask Abraham to hang himself. What did he tell him to do? Kill Isaac. As people making decisions, I'm like, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. How did I get into that? We tolerate, I thought I was digressing, I know. What we tolerate, God holds us responsible for it. It's sad. He said, you are put to test those who call themselves apostles, but they are not, and found them to be false. These days, I am not, before I say, Vanky, don't judge. I have two responsibilities now, and they are heavy responsibilities. James said, don't want to be a teacher. There are two responsibilities. I have to decide for myself who's false, and I have to teach those who listen to me who's false. Look, before, there are days, you know, before you're in a church, they are doing something, you go there, they look. Now, there are churches I don't like to go to some church because I think people will be looking, waiting for my response. If I'm in a church, they say, everybody stand up. Put your hand in your pocket. Bring out the money there. Show it for everybody to see. When I was a younger boy, I could do that. But now, I know when I'm in places, people know I'm there. So who's that? Pastor Panky. Once you give the eyes turned to check how I'm responding. So my conduct instructs people. It's a heavy responsibility. I know sometimes we take risks with such things because you want to be sure that what you are saying is correct. But I have a duty to tell people what is false. That's why I say it all the time. Any prophet, anyone at all, who starts pointing fingers at human beings as a cause of your problem, the prophet is either totally false or at that moment, he's confused. Add another one to it. If any man tells your breakthrough is tied to your offering, he's a liar. He may not know his line, in which case he's confused. And I need to tell it to those, Paul said to Timothy. He said, give attention to this so you can save yourself and those who listen to you. I have a duty to those who listen to me. There are people out there, their job is to make merchandise of the souls of believers. I have a duty to prevent that happening in the lives of those who listen to me. I know I'll make enemies, I don't care. You know, when God is planning your life, you don't even know. When I was a youth copper, one night I dreamt. I've told you about the dream before. When I woke up, I began to meditate and write things. And one of the things that stuck in my mind is, Banky, this ministry, don't subject it to anybody. I didn't even know why. Now, nobody censors what I say. My wife and I, from the money God gave us, we paid for this hall for the first time. Don't need anybody's consent concerning what I say here. From here, I put the things on the airwaves. I put it on the internet that I might save those who listen to me. We have tolerated a lot of nonsense in the body of Christ. You don't want to criticize people. I know your deeds, your toil, and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. But we won't talk about how you decide that one. You found them to be false. You have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. So they have something good. They have something very good or some things good with them for which the Lord could speak about them, could commend them. He now said in verse 4, but, somebody say but. I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, he says, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Now, notice something, though. He had good things to say about them. They don't tolerate evil people. They don't tolerate false apostles. But he says something here. You have left your first love. Go back to the deeds you did at first. Repent and do those deeds, or else I am coming to you and I will remove your lampstand out of your place, out of his place, unless you repent. He said, but this you have. That is, they have some good things. But listen to this. Please look up. They have some good things, but those things were not enough to prevent the Lord from shutting them down. Are you getting my point? No matter how good you are as a child of God, please watch out for areas where you are not very good and improve on those areas. That's why I keep on saying, Christians, you can't hang on the good you have when you want to negotiate with God. If he says it's good, take that thing and hold it tight. But don't say because of that, something good. No. Look at that other areas and continually improve. These people, they didn't tolerate false apostles, evil men. They had perseverance. But God said, the good things you did at the beginning, you have forgotten them. He said, if you don't go back to doing them, then I'm going to have to close your church. Many good people have been closed. To you, they are very good. But God said, there's something about their life. I told them to improve. They did not improve, so I closed them down as individuals. Because this applies to a church and applies to individuals. In fact, when he said, he that has an ear, he was not talking about the church that has an ear. It's the individuals in churches that have ears. You are getting my point here? Each person would apply this to his or her life. So sometimes, you'll be surprised. You say, why do bad things happen to good people? It's good in your eyes. From the side, you can see. There are areas in which God said, oh boy, improve. He refused to. 10 years, 15 years, so God shut him down. shutting down different areas, which could be removing him from this life and say, go to the another to another life. I don't want you here again. That's why all of us, we have to listen. We don't have a choice. We have to settle down regularly and examine our lives. But he said, this you did at first. That's what I want to talk about. Let me just introduce it, then we'll close. You know, I thought about it. Now, I don't know how you're going to link this, but let me just go into talking about it briefly. A while ago, actually, I started writing an article. It was supposed to be a blog, but I didn't finish it. And I remembered it this evening as I was meditating about this meeting. I thought about it. I said, that's the message the Lord actually has for today. Now, we have reached it. You know what? If you read your Bible, you will notice something. Happened to many men. As people get older, they love the Lord less. I'm not saying it must happen to everybody. Let me put it like that. It's one major risk in life. Remember Solomon? As a little boy, he prayed the kind of prayer that God was so impressed. Wow! Solomon, your father taught you well. At the end of his days, what happened? He married fake women who were worshipping idols. He tolerated their idolatry. He did not worship idols. Solomon never did. But he tolerated the idolatry and he was judged for it. You know the way these young girls are? He has no need. He just wants to build a temple unto Baal. Give her a small plot of land. You know she's not an Israelite. That's how old Solomon was talking. So the girl will come and say, you didn't come for my temple opening ceremony. Solomon says, hey, Nefertiti, because of the ordinary temple opening, that's why you're talking to an old man like that. He said, don't touch me. Why won't I touch you? You know, I paid bride price for you, don't you know? The girl will do face like this. Just by the way, men, follow my example. Ask my wife, they don't do face for this guy and get anything out of it. It's not good. It's satanic. If you want something, open your mouth. Let's talk about it. We're adults. And yeah, they'll feel like it. Now I'll carry my face good the other side too. I'm telling you the truth too. Just use the word of God. Don't use emotions to live your life. That's why Solomon messed everything up. That's why Solomon started exhorting young Egyptian girls for sacrifices in the temples of Ra. And God closed him down for it. He tolerated that. Now it's very common. Asa, the same thing. Asa did not have any trouble for a very long time in his life. 35 years of the reign of Asa, everything was good. In the 36th year was when, of what was the end of 35 years, he was beginning to backslide. He did not know. Listen to me, it's very common. You go to your Bible. Now, this will interest you. Do you know even Moses, when he became very old, he too started misbehaving. When God killed Moses, go and read, listen to our series on it, why God killed Moses. When God killed Moses, it was not because he was angry with Moses. It was that he was feeling sorry for Moses. Moses had become tired. Now, you say it's a small thing that happened to him. But for Moses, no be small thing. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes. For Moses, it was not a small thing. He couldn't say it was a mistake. You were telling me about a man that was condemned to death because he shot somebody. And he said it was an accidental discharge. And what did the judge say? For a man of your experience, a senior military officer, you don't discharge weapons like that accidentally. You must have done it deliberately. His argument was accidental discharge. The judge said, no. You are too experienced for that kind of discharge. I saw a movie long ago, Kevin Costner, I think. Same thing. He killed about two or three men in self-defense. When they dragged him to court, the judge said, you can't plead self-defense. You are from the special forces. Your training is damn too much. You could have incapacitated those men without killing them. No? They refused the argument of self-defense and sent him to jail for manslaughter. Yes, they picked the fight with him. You get my point? And he defended himself and killed the men in the process. But the judge said, no, I will not accept self-defense for killing them. Yes, it won't be murder, but you are going to jail. That's what happened to Moses. God looked at Moses. What you and I would have said was a small thing. strike the rock. Speak to the rock. He struck the rock. Maybe water still came out. Oh, you rebels. You want me to bring water for you regularly, eh? I look like water works now, Abby. That small comment. God said, hey, Moses, Lila. It looked harsh, but it was because it was Moses. Believe me, if it was me, I would enter the promised land. If it was me, God would just say, oh, thank you, don't do it again. No. Yeah, confess, kneel down there and repent of your sins. And then I would say, Lord, I'm sorry. The way Israel, Okemote, Felix, and all these people who sit in front, the way they do in kingdom world, that's why I was openly talking nonsense with my mouth. God said, I understand. I'll deal with them later. You just confess. But with Moses, why would I get away with it? I'm a small boy. Can't you see it? Thank God for my life. What have I seen? Have I divided the Red Sea? I've not seen anything. So the Lord will just forgive me. But for Moses, like, but why did Moses make that mistake? He was getting tired. He was getting weak. His strength was waning. So that's why God said, let's not forgive him. Let's kill him. Why? Because if we don't do this, if Moses lived for another long period, he would want to build a calf. And when he's building the calf, you wouldn't believe it. And he would do the same way Solomon did it later. These Israelites, they want a calf. Bezalel. Yes, my Lord. Do you still have your gold skills there? Say yes. Make one small monkey for those people. They are all monkeys. Don't mind them. And for God, that would be a sin. So God said, kill this guy now. 120 years, let him go. It's a danger of life. That's what I'm pointing out to all of us. Many of us who were vibrant Christians on campus. So when I look at people sometimes, I could just shake my head. You wouldn't believe these people used to love the Lord. That's where I'm going. Over time, we tend to lose that favor we had when we were young. It's a tendency. We need to talk about it so as to warn us about it. That is what I'm talking about. I was a Christian on campus. I know what we used to do. Go to sports complex and pray at night. Room to room evangelism. Fight over who's reading this book, who's not reading this book first. We need all the Christian musicians in town. Are you getting my point? There was a heat and fervor with which young people served the Lord. Generally, this is what happens to them. They begin to prosper. They get married. They have children. Then those things gently, it's called the expulsive power of a new affection. Oswald Chambers, not me. Oswald Chambers called it the expulsive power. No, Oswald Sanders. He said, or Oswald J. Smith. There are three Oswalds that say things like that. One is Sanders, one is J. Smith, one is the Chambers. They called it the expulsive power of a new affection. They easily start forgetting the thing they used to do. And the church in Ephesus, that's what was happening. For example, they were known for evangelism, as an example. Doing outreaches. They loved to reach out to people. But then the young boys, young girls, they became big boys, big girls. They married, they settled down. And evangelism was no longer important to them. They just sat in the church. They have prospered. Now they tithe regularly, in quotes. They give offerings. The church has prospered more than before. But what they were known for had disappeared. And that's one thing. Many ministries, that's what happens to them. They come to town with a bang. They are known for something. Then they settle. Then the Jeroboam spirit takes them over. They want to consolidate that which God had done for them before. Through human methods. And God says, I will have to close that church eventually. We'll continue from this point next time. But let me just explain something to us. We all have to be careful. What did I say? We all have to be careful that we continuously increase in our love for the Lord. Let me give you an example. This will sound very funny to you here. When I started in Kingdom, I noticed something about preachers. The longer they preach, as they are getting older, church is getting bigger, ministry is expanding, the shorter the messages. You know that?
Yes.
I said, God, it won't happen to me. So these days, ask my wife. I have set Chris Delvan in front of me as my mentor in diarrhea. 4 hours preaching is my what I'm looking. Is you I'm feeling sorry for? Were it not for that, my plan will start by 3. close by 7. Trust me, I know go tire. If Holy Spirit is going down, I will kindle the spirit. That's what the Bible says. What is my reason? I said this trend I saw, it mustn't happen in my life. And I noticed at a point in time, when it began in Kingdom for many reasons, I used to preach for 50 minutes, 1 hour. And now, I confidently, it's because of you that I stopped in 2 hours. Honestly, it's because of you. If left to what is inside this guy's body, we will stop today in Revelation chapter 4. See, we're in chapter 2 now. Billy Akoni is my old guy in that area. Those of you sitting down here looking at me like, Pastor, won't you go home? Go for Billy's meeting. See, me, I'm even talking fast. Billy starts with, did you see it? Paul said that the old man has been crucified. With who? With Christ. Five hours, y'all listening. I said, look, forget all these 45 minutes services in which message is 25 minutes. I'm sorry to say it, though. I don't understand it. Let me leave that one like that. I love Chris Devon. Chris Devon came for our last convention. On the road, his car had an issue. So he had, because we couldn't get a flight to Benin, so he had to come by road. So we had to send rescue mission, all of that. So they told me that, Brennan should go and eat too. Because when Chris Devon arrives, we will now start the meeting. I've had experience with that before. I said no. Different people came and said, I was present at that time. They said, please, let the people go and eat. I said, no. They said, when Chris Evan comes now, you know he has to rest. I said, don't worry. Let him be resting. We'll be inside this hall. When he finishes, we'll eat. Thank God I was listening to the spirit. They were listening to the flesh. You know what happened? As soon as the man arrived, he sent a message that he's coming from his car to the pulpit. The rest they were talking about, okay, let's get you something to eat. He said, no, just get me water. Banky, don't worry. Water will be okay. He sat down. We're greeting somebody. Then he came, he sat down. He took over the mic around 10 o'clock. What time was it? Was it around 10? We finally went home around 3 a.m. I'm not joking, no. A man who had been on the road from Abuja to Benin, is slightly longer than Abuja to Enugu. He had been on the road. The car spoiled somewhere. They had to go and do some rescue, get him out there. His wife just went straight to their room to go and sleep. The man entered with rumpled clothes, though. Clothes that he had used to stand with mechanic. He just came, just got the microphone. The Lord is my light. And you know, he sings like a spirit. The man began to preach. Who dared me, president, fall asleep for where? There are times he's preaching, I'm nodding, but my spirit has slept. My body is there like this, I'm nodding. My spirit was asleep. So I told myself, this guy is my mentor. I called him last week. He was on the way to America. I'm just with a guy. When he called, I had to greet him regularly. Look, by the time I'm 90, young boys will say, drink coffee. Pastor Banky is the one ministry. Gilead Conley is older than me, is he not? Yeah. He's still preaching many hours. All this one of coming to church for 30 minutes is not the will of God. It's not the will of God. Sadhu Sundar Singh, not Selvaraj, Singh. One day, years ago, he came to London, to New York. Those days, you know how long it takes? You know when Christopher Columbus got to America? You know why they call the Native Americans Indians? Do you know why? Because he thought he was in India. So when he arrived in America, he was going to India. So he thought he had stumbled on India through another route. He didn't know it was another continent entirely. Now, I'm trying to tell you, India is very far from the U.S. So those days used to be months on ship to get to America. Sadhu Sundar Singh arrived to come and teach in New York. He walked around the city. He said, these people don't have the time to hear the word of God. He boarded the next boat and went back to India. Do you understand? A man traveled for 2-3 months to get to America. He walked around New York and said, they can't hear the gospel. And he went back to America, to India. Because Sadhu Sundar Singh is the type that sits down and teaches for 1 week. 48 hours is not a big deal. He's a man that's believed that he just vanished. They never saw him again. So this one of coming to church for 30 minutes, me, I don't understand it. I will go to market. You know what I tell you, see? We will drive 4 hours to get to market, preach for 1 hour. Lie, lie. I said, if I drive 4 hours to get to market, no. Oh, yeah. Allah, Inka. Share word with them for 20 minutes. When it's done, give me the microphone. I start my own. I can't drive 4 hours. I will now preach for 1 hour because of what? I found out something. We often lose the work we did at first. If I ask many people here who are Christians on campus, when did you read a book last? So, guy, you know I walk from 9 o'clock, from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's why Jesus is angry with you. When last do you join people? They say they are doing evangelism. That's why he's not happy. You used to solve all the problems with prayer. Now you solve it with phone call. You see why he's not happy? Many of the things we call progress in life is actually the things that are making God, that's Jesus, unhappy with us. Good enough, he didn't say specifically what they were doing before. So all of us can apply it. He said, you have forsaken your first love. He said, remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the deeds you did at first. Let's bow down our heads. We'll pick it up from there next time. Please, you've heard word today. Words. Pray with those things. Things you tolerated. Say, Lord, give me insight on how to know apostles that are fake. It's not everybody that tells you to do something, you do it. There was a prophet. An old prophet told him to do something and he died for it. Because he obeyed an old prophet. You have to learn how to test things and know what is right. Say, Lord, give me that discerning spirit today. Say, Lord, thank you for liberating truth. Thank you for liberating truth. Say, Lord, thank you for what you have done for me in Christ Jesus. Say, Lord, thank you for what you have done for me in Christ Jesus. Say, Lord, thank you for what you have done for me in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for what you have done for me in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for what you have done for me. Just keep telling him. Thank you because you have set me free. You have forgiven my sins. You have lifted me above principalities and powers because I'm seated on your right hand with Christ Jesus. Thank you because my rank in the realm of the spirit is high. I am in Christ. I'm in Christ. Therefore, I am not under the forces of darkness. I can resist sin. I can resist sin. I'm not in bondage to sin. I've been set free. Say, Lord, I thank you because my prosperity is in Christ Jesus. It's not my own sacrifice. It's his sacrifice. He's the one that sacrificed for me to be free. Say, Lord, I thank you. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. One more thing. Say, Lord, thank you for healing. Say, Lord, thank you for healing. If anybody has anywhere that's paining, ailing him or her, think of other area and say, Lord, thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Now I speak to that area. Be well there in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, because Jesus paid for it. That is the base upon which I make that statement. Be well in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every affliction, I rebuke it now by the power of that word. Out of your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare to you that healing is permanent in your body in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Wherever it might be, anywhere in your body, from the top of your head to down to the soles of your feet, whatever the affliction is, I rebuke it by the power of that word that says himself took your infirmities and your diseases, and by his stripes you have been healed.
Amen.
I declare healing is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This coming week, prosperity is your portion.
Amen.
Favor is your portion.
Amen.
Safety is your portion.
Amen.
The Lord will protect you from all evil.
Amen.
He will guard you in all your ways.
Amen.
Listen, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is well with you. God will perfect everything that concerns you.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Remember, the peace of God is with you. So when you get home, say, peace be upon this house. And I declare to you that favor will enter that house.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, let's go.
Because
of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless somebody on your left or your right.
This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus.
Bless another person.
This
is your season of multiplication and dominion. Bless one more person, please.
This is your season of multiplication and dominion.
Bless yourself. This is my season of multiplication and dominion.
All right, cheer up, brethren.